so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
But I'm pretty excited about tonight, because we started talking about what is your produce? What do you produce? What is coming out of you? And how many understand that not everything that comes out of you is God? I mean, I know that there are three of you in here that you are just so holy that when you wake up, heavens open up and, oh, but the rest of us, you know, sometimes we wake up on the wrong side of bed. And it takes three cups of coffee and a dose of the ghost to get us situated. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Go with me in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Proverbs. Let me say to you, we do have a lot going on. And let me just share my heart before I get into the Word. We have a lot of going on. We're very busy. But I don't equate busyness with godliness. I don't equate busyness or activity as people being discipled in Christ. So that's not. Just this, it just happens to work out this summer. It is just a busy summer. We've got our, anybody know how many teens we've got going to the competition? Anybody? Mama Young, do you know? Just say no, I don't know. Okay. No, she don't know. But I'm messing with you. You know I got you. But we've got probably about 10 kids and then chaperones going up to Cleveland. And so thank you for all you do. They raise an extra $470 Sunday for the car wash. And so, you know, thank you for what you did. And, man, they had it set up. I don't know if y'all went by there. There was a line, but they had four bays. They just boom, 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 and they washed them out. I was spent by the end of that service, and so I just went by, saw that line, and just gave them my $10, and I just went on to the house, and I figured I could get $10 worth of sleep, so I went on home. But and then the ribs are going to be amazing. How many had the ribs last year? And they're going to be cool. You know, you can put them in the refrigerator. I got four. I bought four right off what I got four, and so Sherry, my wife, said, "Baby, do we need four?" I said, "I can eat them more than 4th of July. We can have one rack on Sunday and then have the other three racks with the rest of our family on Wednesday or Thursday, whenever 4th of July is." So, yeah, man. So, knock yourself out. We've only got 90. We've already sold over 50 of them. So, I don't know what the new count is. But so, make sure that you get there. Man, those shirts, they went off like hotcakes. I mean, they're pretty cool. I'm just so glad that I was able to design that shirt in that made you just enjoy and love them. And, yeah. And we sold them despite and in spite of our models. But I don't know what it's saying that we sold more blue than we did red. All I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. And I think that you and Justin designed those shirts, I think. You and Becky. Oh, okay, you and Becky. I knew there had to be a woman's touch on there somewhere. No, but they designed them, and so anyway, great. Come on out, be a part. Man, I'm so excited about July Sunday night fire. I'm telling you, God is up to something. I'm just expecting blowout church. Amen. Now, what do you mean by that, preacher? What do you mean blowout? I mean, I expect God to do abundantly above all that we ask or think in those services. Let me give you a quick update on baby Noah. I texted right before service, and he texted me during service and said, "He's doing well, Pastor. He's starting to swallow," which is a test that he needed to pass. His blood sugar is working itself back up. Those were like the last tests he needed to pass. He still needs to pass two more tests. He didn't tell me what they were. I think, but his results are going so well and so fast the doctors are amazed. Amen. Listen to me. My wife said something last week or the week before that has gotten all over me. And that is that the miracle never looks like a miracle in the beginning. That it looks bleak and dark, and you might lose every battle. But at the end of the day, the only people who get miracles are those who need miracles. Now remember, I say this, I stand behind it. The more our lives line up with the Word of God, the less miracles I need, because I operate in the blessing. I believe that 100%. However, there are still some times that we need miracles. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So, go with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. One of my favorite scriptures. My son, give attention to my words. Hey, I remembered to put it, the PowerPoint, where it was supposed to go this time, so Craig could find it. Give attention to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. Matter of fact, I'm looking out, and I saw somebody on the following Thursday. They said, "Pastor, I went ahead and read the rest of your notes on YouVersion." And then they're not here tonight, so I figured they got everything they needed out of that. So, okay. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. God said, give attention to my words and don't let them depart. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Thank you, guys. So last week we talked about that the Word of God is what should produce your thinking, because words frame our thinking. Words frame our thinking, and the seeds that enter your heart through your ears always produce a harvest. Some of the issues that people are having today is because of the words that they received or spoken over them years ago or even as a child. And they're having psychological issues. Where am I, therapist? See, they're having psychological issues because they received the word of somebody that was falsely speaking over them, or at the time accurately speaking over them, and they internalize that. But I've come by to tell you that no matter what has happened to you, where you have been, where your present situation is, this word is the word of the living God, and it can straighten out your stinking thinking, but you've got to receive its word. Just because you read it don't mean you believe it. Amen? So you must guard your heart, because what flows out of your heart ultimately becomes your life. And therefore we choose what we listen to. Will we listen to what the devil says, or will we listen to what God says? Now last week we got to point number one, which was every believer should live in abundance. And again, I've been called a bunch of things, and I've been called a prosperity preacher. And let me say to all of those haters who are sitting at the house drinking Haterade and eating Hater Tots, let me just say to you that, yes, I am a prosperity preacher, because I believe that when you give your heart to Christ, you become abundant. You begin to be prosperous, because you're not going to hell. I call that prosperous, if I'm not going to hell. But I also believe the Bible says, I would that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. You've got to have it in proper order. Abundance doesn't just mean money. It includes every area of life. So if you're going to say that I'm a prosperity preacher, I am in every sense of the word. Not money. I mean, because I know people who have money, but they don't have peace. I know people who would give all the money they had to fix their marriage. I know people who would give all the money they have in order for the voices in their head to quit talking to them. Come on, somebody. All right, so God wants you to have and enjoy life in abundance. And we talked about John 10:10, which is my ultimate life verse. The thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. He only wants the best for you. Now, I'm going to back away from my notes, Craig, and I want you to run me through this, or I'm going to preach point one again, and we'll be here another 30 minutes without going anywhere. So give me my next one. What words are you listening to? That's the question you've got to decide. What words are you listening to? Who and whom are you listening to? Come on, give me my next one. Bad behavior is a result of bad thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, if you, whatever you think on, that's what you're going to be. Bad behavior is the result of bad thinking. What's my next one? The soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. We're made up of spirit, soul, and body, but your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Point number two, here's where I want to be at. The question that I've got for you is, does your emotions control you? Does your emotions control you? Now, what do you mean by that? An abundant life has been made available to everyone, but I want you to hear me, Pentecostals. It requires work. What? Work? I thought all I had to do was say a few tongues. Throw some tongues at it and I'd be all right. I thought all I had to do was be at the right church. No. I thought I had to be at the right with the right pastor. No. It requires work. Because, you know, I have to work at it. I know you can't believe that, but I do. I have to work at it. That's humor for those of you who didn't catch that. But part of the problem with most people is that they cannot or will not control their emotions. And you've got to work on controlling you. Because listen, you can't lose it every time something goes wrong. And I'll go one step further. You can't just lose your temper because nobody else wants to find it. And check this out. When you lose it, you lose. Every time you lose it, you lose. And I used to have a sense of pride about me losing it. Because I would say things like this.
Well, I'll tell you what. Takes a lot to make me mad, but boy, when I get mad, you better watch out.
Any other folks in here take a little pride in that? Yeah. I'm easy going, but don't get me going. You know. So God had to deal with me about that. And so, you know, am I there? Most days. But when your emotions control you, depression sneaks in. When your emotions control you, depression sneaks in and turns you away from the will of God. Because remember what we talked about Sunday is that God is doing a work in you, and the good work that he's doing in you, it is him doing it. And when you begin to go inward and just think about you, you do whatever makes you feel good. And everything that makes you feel good doesn't make everybody else feel good, and it doesn't make God feel good. Amen? You got to do what makes God feel good. You see, control your emotions, and that in itself will take you a long way in controlling your destiny. How many people, don't raise your hand, but how many people have ever got mad and quit a job? I don't need this. Walked out, get home and thinking, man, I needed that. I don't need this job. I was looking for a job when I found this one. And then you leave and thinking, oh, God, I need you to provide for me income. Oh, God, give me bread from heaven. God said, I done gave you a job and you messed it up with your emotions. Am I helping anybody? God wants you to be abundantly blessed in every area of your life. Jesus, John 10:10, Jesus came so that we can enjoy, this is the Amplified version, Jesus came so that you may enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Now, I'll be the first to tell you that I don't live the overflow life every day of my life. I should. I have the ability, but I keep messing it up. And I keep letting other people mess it up. Amen? So you've got to understand that I have that ability, but that's the will of God for my life. That is my goal. That is my point that I'm looking for. I'm not looking to just, I don't want to just live life. I want to live life. Because Jesus said I could. I don't want to just, when I get old, have dreams that were unfulfilled. I want to have memories that God did in my life. Oh, come on, somebody. God wants you to be abundantly blessed. Money does not define abundance, and money doesn't define prosperity. And everybody says, well, I'll be happy when I get money. No, you won't. If you're not happy now, you're not going to be happy then. Because here's what I'm convinced of this thing, that, you know, the one thing that I can't stand is old, cantankerous people. But what I have found in my 30 years of pastoring, usually old cantankerous people were once young cantankerous people. They were mean back then. They were mean then, they're mean now. Or there are some issues in their life that they feel somehow somebody has robbed them from it, and now they want to take it out on society. And nobody wants to be around you for that. All right, so here are some principles. Let me give you some principles that we need in our lives. And they're very simple, and they're just sub-points of point number one, two. But first of all, you need the Word of God. I mean, man, it's simple. Pastor, it ain't that simple. It is that simple. You need the Word of God. Every morning, I read the Word of God. And can you tell me, you know, every morning, I wish that when I read the Word of God, I just go, You become invigorated. Yes, hallelujah. Sometimes I look at how many more pages do I got to read here? I'm setting somebody free right now. Pastor, are you for real? Yeah, I'm for real. You know, sometimes I set a time. All right, God, I set aside this time to spend with you. And, you know, and I done prayed for everybody I know. And I'm like, okay, how much time do I have? All right, God, I really got some things I need to do. All right? And when that happens, I don't get anything out of it. All right? So I have to beat my body into subjection, knowing that the time spent with God is going to multiply my time in this world. It's going to, because a moment, you know, I can remember when we were building this building and I was over in the old church and I was praying, we had the plans laid out, and I know it was God. As I was praying, I was walking around the altar and I was just praying, spending time with God. And I walked by the plans and I looked and I went, and got a ruler in my office and began to measure. And what they did, now we can see the 180 over there, but the nursery that he was putting in, the architect was putting in this place, was the same size. And what I'm saying is a few moments in the presence of God foiled the plan of the enemy. Because see, you know, we got an overflow room there. Originally, there was going to be one there. But now it's the nursery. But God, a few moments in the presence of God, he can reveal to you the word or the plans of the enemy. And Pastor, that wasn't the devil. I understand. But understand what I'm trying to say. Because I was in the presence of God, he illuminated the plans. He could do more in a few moments than I could if I'd have kept looking at those plans for all of eternity. Because God knows what you don't. He sees what you don't see. Can I get a good amen? Amen. All right, so you must have the Word of God. The Word is the origin. It is the beginning for all prosperity and all abundant living. Because you know why? You have to change your vocabulary. You have to change what everybody else has said over you. You have to change stuff. I was so pleased to go back to my 25th high school reunion because one of the teachers that said I was going to be in jail, I wanted to tell her that I was a preacher in the jail. No. But she spoke some things over me that I wanted to tell her that wasn't the truth. You know, now she was trying to motivate me. She was a good teacher, but she was trying to motivate me. But I wanted her to know what you said about me did not come to pass because I began to read what God said about me. I began to read that God said, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. That I don't have to live in a dilapidated state. I don't have to walk around with the mully grubs all the time. I don't have to walk around depressed. And I don't have to walk around with my head down low because I'm going to look up for my help comes from the Lord. He is my refuge. He is my redeemer. Can you say amen? So here's what you need to do. Now, listen, I'm not giving anybody a license to divorce, but here's what I want you to tell you is that stay away from negative people. Some of y'all are going to get that. Didn't give you a reason. I'm not going to let you divorce. This truly happened. One day a lady came to me. She said, Pastor, I said, hey, if you can't worship, where are you at? Because people are bringing you down. Move. I'm not exaggerating. Woman stood up, looked at her husband. Went to the other side of church and went to worshiping like I ain't never saw her worship. The Word of God determines your thinking. Word of God. When the Word of God is firmly planted in your heart, it will change you, and then it can change your circumstances. Can I tell you that most of your problems, the common denominator is you. Your thinking, the way you behave, the way that you interact. But the Word of God determines your thinking. Here's the second thing you've got to need. That the Word of God determines your thinking. Wrong words will develop into wrong thinking. Right words will develop into right thinking. All right? Avoid people whose words negatively influence your thinking. Now, I'm not talking about, I know people don't say a negative word. I'm not talking about wise counsel. The Bible said that wisdom is found in the counsel of many. But can I tell you that confusion is found in the counsel of too many? So you need some godly people in your life and let them speak that. And if it lines up with the Word of God, all right? Your thinking will determine your emotions. Emotions are defined as this. And I don't think I have this, do I? Emotions are defined as this. Feelings on the inside caused by pain or pleasure, trying to move you in a direction. Whether it's good or bad, it tries to move you into a direction. When you begin to think bad things and you begin to let your emotions, nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go to the garden and eat some worms. It's trying to move you in a direction. What the devil wants to do is isolate you and separate you. The devil, because the devil knows that he's no match for 170 people, all in one accord praying in the same prayer. He knows he's not a match for that because the Bible said that one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight. So he knows he's no match. So what he wants to do is isolate you and get you by yourself, just like the lion will separate from the rest of the herd a wildebeest or a zebra so that he has a better chance of taking that animal down. The same thing the devil is trying to do from you. That's why the devil don't want you in the house of God. That's why the devil don't want you being a part of a church. That's why the devil don't want you worshiping. He wants you all alone, where you are alone with your emotions. Because how many understand? And we had this discussion in the elders meeting just last night. And there is a difference of being alone because you want to be alone and being alone. See, I believe the alone time is precious in my sight. I enjoy alone time. However, I've got to recognize that I can be in a room full of 100 people and still be alone if I'm not careful. But what the devil wants to do is cause you to be alone by yourself so that he can get you by yourself, so that he can get into your thought life, so that he can deal with you. He can cause you to just go inward instead of outward. God gave you emotions so that you can enjoy life. See, if Satan can get you to have the wrong emotions, he'll be able to move you in the direction that is out of the will of God for your life because of your emotions. But God has given us, wouldn't it be horrible to go through life and not feel nothing? Oh my gosh. A baby born. You get married. Do you take this person to be your spouse? I guess. How boring. Hey, here's a new car. Oh, thanks. If you're Emotions are not bad. They help you enjoy life. But they got to be geared and moving you in the right direction. And so that's why we got to guard our heart. All right? Emotions. God gave you emotions so you can enjoy life. He never intended, though, your emotions to dictate life. Whew. Well, that's good. Yeah, that is good. He never intended for your emotions to dictate life. Because if it does, then every time you have a bad day, everybody's going to know it. You know, I mean, church ought to be a place where you can be real. Because I ain't got time for fake people. Fake people is exhausting. And being fake is exhausting. And so, but the reality is you need to be real. However, aren't you glad that when you come in, that everybody, how you doing? Oh, you really want to know? You really don't want me to tell you how I'm doing. Because, oh my God, you know. No. Don't let the emotions dictate your life. Well, I'm not going to go to church because I don't feel like it. I just had a bad day. And you know, I don't get up here every Sunday or every time I get up because I've had a great day. Oh. I mean, I've had some very emotional days in the last week and a half. We've had some serious sicknesses. We've had people that are on there without a miracle. God, you know, God, and God has done the miracle, but without the miracles, you know, we were looking at losing people and losing the baby and doing some different things. And we were looking at some horrible situations, but God. But God. So if you let the emotions get you there, then the emotions will drive you a certain way. But I refuse to let my emotions define how I'm going to be because I have emotions. Emotions don't have me. Oh, that's good preaching right there. So how you deal with your emotions will determine whether you experience the blessing or the curse. The ultimate curse in life is being ruled by your emotions. You know, they're up one day, down the next. You know, they change their mind 64 times in a day. You don't know who you're going to be. You know, you don't know if it's going to be Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde. You call home, who are you? Well, what does it matter? I'm deciding whether I'm coming home or not. So you need to tell me who you are today. And if you don't know, let me tell you who you are. You're above and not beneath. You're a child of the living God. Let me tell you who you are. You're my wife. You're my husband, whatever. And I love you and you're going to be all right. Amen? So that's how we do it, man. So the ultimate curse in life is being ruled by your emotions. Now, your emotions will determine your decisions. You make emotional decisions. That's why I love when Job, the Bible said he didn't speak for 7 days because he said, I don't want to sin against God with my mouth. Woo. Look at your neighbor. Would you just tell him, sometimes you need to shut your mouth. Yeah, I'm giving y'all some permissions. There'll be marriage counseling after service. Some of y'all enjoyed it a little too much. All right, because now check it. Your emotions will determine your decisions. Are you ready? Your decisions will determine your actions. Because how many understand that your emotions and your actions are two different things? Your emotions is what you feel. Your actions is what you do. And that's why you got to make sure that your emotions don't have you, but you have emotions. Because you can't give in to every emotion. Man, this is good teaching, preaching right here. You can't give in to your emotion because sometimes your emotion. I remember my wife and I, we were having a very, you know, if you're a pastor, you don't have fights in your marriage. You have passionate discussions. And my wife and I were having a passionate discussion and she looked at me one day and she looked at me and she goes, oh. And I said, what? She goes, I just want to punch you right in the face. Yeah. Oh, I can't believe that on Sister Sherry. That was yesterday. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Some of y'all are like, I can't believe that was Sister Sherry. And so others of you are going, oh, I can believe that. She lives with you. But you understand. But I'm glad she didn't give in to that emotion. Now, I didn't make it any better when I started laughing. But I'm a very, you know, I like humor, so it's kind of hard. But your emotion will determine your decision. Your decision will determine your actions. Your actions will determine your habits. And habits will always take you further than desire. I have a desire to be fit. I have a habit of eating biscuits. I have a desire to have a six-pack. Pop, pop, pop. But I have a habit of looking like a can of busted biscuits. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Just stuff kind of coming out everywhere. Look like a can of busted biscuits. Your ass. I just got a visual. I just. Yeah. Your actions will determine your habits. Your habits will determine your character. Man, your habits will determine your character. Then you will arrive at your destination. Abundance, prosperity, or overflow are the opposite. See, at the end of the day, man, you've got to be able to be all right with you. You know, you got to like you.
Well, I don't like myself very much.
Well, talk to somebody who knows you really well and let him begin to change you. I'm not discounting. I'm not saying that these things don't exist. I know they do. Because I deal with them too. I deal with sometimes some of those, you know, now not every day, but sometimes I deal with low self-esteem. Sometimes I live with, you know, thinking that I'm not good enough. That I deal with some of those areas. But I've got to make sure that these things that I've just said to you, that they are building my character. And what is character? Character is who you are when nobody else is around. Number three is this. Uncontrolled negative emotions will allow depression to enter into your life. I'm going to tell you, church, I'm so sick. Man, it's 8:20 already. All right, I might can finish. I'm going to hurry. I'm so sick. And when I say this, how can I say this? When I say this, don't go, oh God. Yeah. But I am so sick and tired of the devil leading Christians into depression. Because you ain't got to follow. You don't have to follow him. You know, you need to look at somebody and tell them, I'm not going to let you drive me crazy. I'm going to take the keys away from you. I just seen a wife patting her husband. Yep, that's right, baby. But that's the truth. You've got to decide, man. Just because there is a left turn doesn't mean I got to take it. Just because there is an off-ramp into depression doesn't mean I got to take it. I'm going to stay in the brightness of God. I'm going to stay in the illumination of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to let... There's some practical things you can do too. Open a window. Open a curtain. Get around some people who will fight you out of your bad habit. Out of your bad attitude. Get around somebody who's funny. Not funny, but funny. Because check it out. Depression is Satan's attempt to cause your spirit to become so heavy that he stops your forward movement. Because when you're depressed, what happens? You don't want to do nothing. Well, come on. Go to church with us. No, I don't want to. And then what happens? I don't want to go to church. And then somebody calls you. Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. And then a little bit later, nobody even cares that I'm not in church. They don't love me. And it's comical unless you're there. It's comical because I'm making it comical, but it's not comical when you're there because that's what the devil does. So you need to look at that joker and say, no, not tonight. Not today, devil. Not today. I'm a child of God, and I'm not going to go down in the pit with you. I'm not going to fight with you in the pit. I'm going to raise my hands and give God praise and give God glory, and the Lord himself will fight my battle, because I'm no match for you, but you are no match for my God. Depression comes from external pressure that penetrates your heart, influencing thoughts that ultimately weigh you down. So that's why Paul said, I bring every thought into the captivity of Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, I don't know how you do that. All right, let me give you the best way that I know how to explain it. How do I bring every thought into captivity? You ever been through those doors, those revolving doors? You know, if you get two people in there, if you're not in sync, you kind of... Because it only has one. So put that door on your emotions, on your thoughts. And before you let it spin, you when it comes in, is this good or bad? Is this edifying? Or is this trying to take me down a road of destruction? Is this pumping me up or deflating me? And if it is, say, no, devil, I deflect that, I reject that. I'm bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ. Not you. You get over here. You come on in. Nope, you joker. And you do that with every thought. Well, Pastor, that's exhausting. That's called a fight. You've got to fight. But we don't want to do that, do we? But if you don't, then you're going to be in a depressed state. Stress and pressure internalized will lead to depression. The solution is for you to change the way you think, which will change the way you feel. That's just kind of simple. I would have known that. Okay. Jesus was tempted in every way, but he knew no sin. See, because temptation is a pressure applied to your thinking. Well, I'm never tempted. You're a liar. Oh, no, I'm holy. No, you're stupid. If you're never tempted, I mean, the Bible said Jesus was tempted. Now, I'm going to set somebody free right here. Just because you're tempted doesn't mean that you've sinned. Man, when I come to that realization of years and years ago, it set me free. Because every time I had a bad thought, oh, Jesus, God, help me, oh, God. Jesus, I've sinned before you, oh, God. And I just stayed in a sense of, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. But no, you're tempted. And I go, no, not going to do that. Not going to think that way. I'm gonna pull a Barney Fife, nip it in the bud, Andy, nip it. No, I'm not going down that road. Nip it. All right, I'm tempted, but that doesn't mean that I have to give in to that temptation. And whatever that temptation is, that means that's why, again, what Paul said, we fight, we beat our body into subjection. Well, I'm just tired of fighting it. No, fight. Fight. Because everybody has a fight. Your fight might be different than my fight. But everybody has a fight. And can I tell you this, though? Listen to me. Everybody has a fight. But there's a place you get in God where the obstacles and the things you fight and change. All right? You know, there was a time when I fought alcohol. I don't fight alcohol no more. I can tell you. The last time I wanted to go tie one on is when we was building this building. Just being real, right? I just thought, man, I'd just go get drunk. It'd probably, you know. But here's the thing. Would it make it any better? No. All right, now here's the other thing. I'm never tempted with crack. Why? I've never done crack, first of all. So it's hard for me to be tempted by something I'm not tempted to go and cheat on my wife. Why? Because I'm scared of her. It has absolutely nothing to do with the Lord. It's just, no, it does. But you know what I'm saying? That's not a temptation that I fight. I don't wake up in the morning every morning and go, oh God, oh God. I'm not tempted. I'm not tempted to go back to my old way of life anymore. I was once, because you'd think it'd get tired. And God, I just, this ain't working out for me. God, it's just too hard. I can't do it. Lord, it just. And now with the things that I used to cry over, I laugh at, because God has bringing me to such a place in my life that those things don't have any pull on me. But that doesn't mean I still don't have pull. New levels, new devils. But however, I want you to understand, if you stop right there, you'll get depressed. Well, I'm in a new level, so therefore I got a new devil. No, new levels, new devils, but there are still, God dispatches angels to the devils of their new, and God knows how to defeat the devil that you're fighting. Hallelujah. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, his spirit became heavy. Even though Jesus knew what was ahead of him, he pressed on. Depression tries to move you backward and away from the will of God of your life. You know, I told you, I think it was, well, I don't know if I told you last week, but there's a couple of things that God's been asking of me to do for a period of time. Part one of them is fasting something. That was a thing, and God has given me something to do, and then God has given me something to do as the pastor of this church. And so, I honestly fought harder with what God asked me to do. Why? Because I don't want to do it. Oh, you're just such a horrible Christian. Well, pray for me. Because I know, you know, what God's asked me to do is something I like. I don't want to give it up for any length of time. I mean, honestly, it'd be easier if you just told me to fast food. I could fast food easier than what I'm fasting. Because, Ben, here's the thing. If you're going to pray radical prayers, then you got to have radical faith. And at camp meeting, the man of God, and this hit me and got a hold of me. If you're going to pray radical prayers, you got to have radical faith, but then you got to have radical obedience. Amen. And I've said this to the Lord. Lord, why can't I just do this? Why can't I just do this? And God says, no, I want you to do this. I said to God, well, God, that really don't make a lot of sense. He goes, I didn't ask you. Right? I mean, what about Nahum? You know, when old Nahum went down to the river and dipped, dip, dip, old Nahum went down to the river and dipped, dip, dip, old Nahum went down to the river and dipped, and he dipped and he dipped and he dipped, and his sin was washed away that very day. How many people other than me and Sister Cash know that song? I got a couple, all right, yeah. A children's pastor, of course you know that song. All right, but Naaman, you know, he was leper, and he came to the man of God, and the man of God said, you know, didn't even come out to see him. He just sent a servant. Go tell Naaman to dip seven times in the River Jordan. And they come and told Naaman, go dip seven times. And Naaman goes, because Naaman was kind of a big shot, he goes, couldn't you have me dip in the clean rivers? And he named two other rivers. Aren't they better than the Jordan? Why do you want me to do that? And he got mad. And one of his servants, thank God, man, one of his servants says, if he would have asked you to do something big, wouldn't you have done it? Well, but this is stupid. See, we want God to do in us the spectacular when sometimes he's just asking us to obey. If it was spectacular, you know, you could feel spiritual about that. Oh, yeah. I'm on a 40-day fast. Nothing has touched these lips. Hallelujah. I have a sense of God every time I wake up in the morning. I feel his presence. But without he's asked me to do, I was like, eh. I haven't felt that. Just, all right, God. However, in my prayer time, I have felt it. In the spirit realm, I'm feeling it. I'm seeing the miracles that we're praying. And the other night, I got tempted. I got tempted. I know all of you are like, I wonder what it is. Don't worry about it. How many of y'all real nosy like y'all thinking, I really want to know what it is. Tell us. No. But I really got tempted to just to do what I wanted to do. And the Lord said, really? Really? And I went, all right. Because again, I want it to be spectacular. I wanted everybody to go, yes. You know, the Lord woke me up many years ago. Oh, he did it today and Sunday too and yesterday and tomorrow. I hope he wakes me up tomorrow. But one Sunday morning, he woke me up real early and the Lord was calling me to prayer on a Sunday morning. And it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, I woke up. And if I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I rebuke the devil. I bind you, devil. But the Lord said, that's me. You know, it's me. So I got up and began to pray. And then when I got to church that Sunday morning, in the 8:30 service, man, I was like, hallelujah. Son, God woke me up at 8 o'clock or at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning. And my God, it's going to be a burner today. Yes, hallelujah. I wonder what devil I'm going to face today. God, boy, come on up here and get delivered. Had a regular service. It was a good service. It wasn't nothing. I went back to my office. Oh, God, why you wake me up this early? And we just had a regular service. What's going on? And here's what he spoke to me. Now, never forget it. He said, why do you want me to do something spectacular just for you obeying me? I started backstroking. Well, God, I really wasn't meaning that. I was just saying, right? But that's what we want. Do you bribe your children every time you ask them to do something? If you do, you're a horrible parent. Let me go ahead and tell you. If you'll be good, I'll buy you something. If you good, I'm going to let you lick the beaters from the cake, and this time I'm going to turn the beaters off. You know, whatever it is. But you understand what I'm saying? But yet we want to do that to God. God told me to do this, and I'm just expecting yes. How about just do it because I said so? How about just doing it because I'm your father? How about doing it because I died for your sins? How about doing it because I'm working out your victory? I'm working out your prosperity. I'm working out your destiny. Why don't you just do it? Because I know what I'm doing. All right? No matter what happens to you, you have to continue to go forward. With dealing with depression, remember that Christ has redeemed you from the curse and that God loves you. My number four, and I'm going to be done. Never be depressed another day in your life. Easier said than done. I know. Everything I've preached tonight is easier said than done. I think I've told you that. It is work. Everything. All right? Diligently guard what enters your heart and let it not trouble you. Here's what John said, let not your heart be troubled. John 14:1, reading from the Amplified. Do not let your hearts be troubled, distressed, agitated. You believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely on God. Believe in and adhere to and trust in Him and rely also on me. See, what you choose to believe about a situation is what you allow into your heart. The things we worry about because we let those things get into our heart. Speak to your problem rather than about your problem. Amen. But that's what we want to do. We want to tell everybody about our problem. Oh my God, guess what happened? Instead of speaking to your problem. I'm not talking about, listen to me. I'm not talking about not sharing your burdens because we're to bear one another's burdens. But what I am, and I'm not talking about just, you know, getting all by yourself and handling everything yourself. That's what the devil wants you to do. That goes back to the first part of the message. But when you speak to your problem, you're guarding your heart. When you begin to say, devil, it looks bad. But I'm not going to let it affect me. See, there's three levels of faith. And I've preached on this before. The three Hebrew children. There was a level that said, God can deliver us. Most everybody has that level. I know God can do it. I know God can do it, yes. But then they went to another level. Here's where you lose about 90% of Christians. Because then they go, God will do it for us. See, I mean, I can see how God could do it for Sister Caps. She's sweet. She loves Jesus. But me? See, I lose it. But then there's another level that about only 1 to 2% go. And that is this. Here's what the Hebrews boy said. Even if he don't, does it change the fact that he could? Now that's the crux right there, man. If something is missing in your life, let me give you a clue. This is real prophetic and real deep. Ask him for it. Well, I didn't think we could ask for it. Ask him for it. Lord, I would desire this. Maybe he might tell you what to do. Lord, I would desire to hit the lottery. Give me the numbers. And if he does, you better pay tithes on it. But receive what you're asking for in faith and rejoice. Give thanks and praise to the Father. Because it's my last thing, but it is not by far. It is probably one of the most important things. Praise rebukes depression. Praise rebukes depression. You know, what was it? One of the, I don't remember what it was. I don't know if it was a sitcom or what. I don't know. All I remember about it is they would say, let's dance it out. I don't know what that was about. But they would, and the show went off or something, and these two girls were just dancing stupid and crazy, and just, you know, neither one of them had any rhythm, but they were dancing it out. But can I tell you that there is power in that? There's power in it when you praise God, when you give him a praise in the midst of your situation. When you give him, quit preaching my message. Quit, I'm just messing with you. When you give him a sacrifice of praise. When you praise him, it's easy to praise when everything's going right. But can you praise him when you don't feel like it? Can you praise him when you got a headache? Can you praise him when your feet hurt? Can you praise him with no money in the bank? Can you praise him when your kids ain't acting right and your spouse ain't acting right? Can you praise him when you're fighting depression? Yes, you can. How do I do it, preacher? Put on some music, get in the house of God, throw your hands up, throw your head back, and praise the Lord. Come on, stand to your feet. Hallelujah, Lord. Come on, I need something. I need something a little peppy. That's like some funeral music. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Spirit Life team, come on real quickly. I want to pray for people. We're going to pray for people who may be in a battle right now. Maybe you're dealing with depression. I want to pray for you. Listen, there's no shame. All right? There's no shame dealing with it. There's no shame. Maybe you're dealing with a chronic illness. How many knows? Listen, let me tell you something about chronic illness. My wife had chronic migraines for years. But chronic illness is from the devil that wants to drive you crazy. Wants to drive you into the pit of depression. But I come by tonight to tell you that the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. He's took the stripes on his back for our healing. We are healed in the name of Jesus. So as they begin to sing this song, if you need prayer, you want prayer, come on, step out right now. Lead us. And if you don't, take just 5 minutes before we dismiss. And let's worship God.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.